Thank you so much for having us. I want to say thank you as well for bringing us on as missionaries about 2 years ago. We were able to come, and when we came 2 years ago, we came with a vision, an idea, a hope, as we were following God. We were raising support to go out to the field. We did not even know where we were going to be. So I stood up here last time saying, we're going to go somewhere in the world, wherever God sends us, wherever Cadence wants us to go. And where he sent us was Washington State, so we're grateful for that. I do have my beautiful bride, Sabrina, here with me. You got to wave at everyone. She's being shy. My kids did leave the children's church. I'd make them stand up. They always love that too. So real quick, I'd love to show you where we are in Washington State. You'll see a picture of a globe coming up, and it's going to zoom in on where we are. Washington State houses Joint Base Lewis-McChord. We call that JBLM. It's the fourth largest base on the planet. There's about 300,000 people on post. So the community that we work with is about 300,000. That's the wrong video. It didn't play on the last one. You can back that up. We're having a little difficulty. There we go. It should zoom in for us. But there's 300,000 people that are on that base every single day. It's not going to work. That's okay. We'll skip it. The base is over 400,000 acres in size. It's a massive mission field that we get to work with. We're very grateful to get to do that. So we're just right on the southern end of the Puget Sound, and it's a beautiful place to minister, a beautiful place to be. Our house is located about 5 minutes across the street from this base, so it's very easy for the Air Force and the Army to come. So that's where we say joint base, because it's a joined base of an Air Force and an Army base. There was a wall, but they tore down that wall, and they are one now. So Joint Base Lewis-McChord, Air Force, military is who we serve with there. We love that very much. I wanted to share with you, what do we do? Pictures tend to show well. And I really wanted you to be able to hear from a couple of our soldiers. So I'm really hoping the second video is going to work. I see them working busy up there. And in this second video, you'll have a chance to hear from a couple of our soldiers about the ministry we do. You'll be able to see what that looks like on a week-to-week basis. So we're going to go ahead and see if we can fire that one off. If not, I'll tell you about it.
So honestly, I love the Army. I love everything about the Army, right? But it kind of gets lonely some days. And staying in the barracks and not having friends, especially in the weekends, it's rough.
Life as a believer in the military is not a cakewalk, that's for sure. The atmosphere in the barracks is one of partying.
The barracks can be a very dark place. And I mean that in a physical sense as I do in a spiritual one. I was like, oh, I can go anywhere, do anything, all that I want. Like, I'm not bound by the rules of my parents anymore. And that quickly snowballed.
There's a lot of peer pressure to join the crowd, because if I'm going to trust you to watch my back on the battlefield, I need you to also be my battle buddy in everyday life. There's kind of a mentality of, if you don't come out and party with us, how can I trust you in other areas of my life?
Being a Christian, it's challenging. Not being a Christian, but maintaining your values as a Christian.
They've been removed from everything they know. When they join the military, they leave home, they leave all their aunts, uncles, grandpas, and suddenly they're faced with a lot of decisions. Who am I gonna be? What kind of man or woman am I gonna be? Am I gonna join in with all the partying and just throwing my life into total hedonism and living for myself? Am I gonna be all about making the next rank, and is the military gonna consume my every waking thought? Or are they gonna find a different path? One that includes faith, that includes following God, that includes being a person who lives according to a different standard and not by their own.
Yeah, the idea of Cadence is to provide a home away from home for the soldiers. And any given Friday night, we'll have around 35, 40 soldiers come into our house for Bible study. We are on post throughout the week, helping with chaplains, working at chapel, different places like that.
I love meeting the person that first time when they walk through the door.
I saw Janessa, she was outside. When I came, she was looking at me, and Janessa just hugged me. Happy Thanksgiving.
Cadence is a family away from my literal family, and that's very helpful in the military when you can be gone a lot, and they provide that family home atmosphere. in the military. We all have kind of a similar life experience, or we're all in a similar season of life, and can relate to each other's struggles with the military and struggles that we have indirectly because of the military. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of encouragement to be drawn from that.
So when we came here about 2 years ago, there were 6 soldiers, and we would average about 6-7 soldiers on a Friday night. And right now we've got 30 to 40, and we've done nothing. The soldiers are bringing their friends. They're saying, hey, we found something that we want you to come to with us. And they're just constantly bringing their friends. We didn't train them. We didn't ask them to. They're just dragging them in.
Amen. The Great Commission includes the commands to go into all the world and preach the gospel and to make disciples of all the nations. The military is already going into all the world.
And Uncle Sam sends them. They get to go and then share the gospel with other soldiers here at JBLM. They get to go away to training to other parts of the United States. They get to go to other parts of the world and share the gospel. So we really look at this ministry as we are sending out missionaries. The overwhelming takeaway from most people when they show up here on a Friday night is, I can't believe you're making me dinner and opening your home. Like, I can't believe you're inviting me into your house, into your space, that you're loving me this way. And that's the cadence verse is 1 Thessalonians 2:8. And it's that we loved you so much, we shared not only the gospel, but our lives. In everything that we do, we are sharing the gospel. In conversations all of the time, we are pointing the soldiers to Christ, but it is by loving them, by doing life with them, that we build that respect and trust to be able to lean in and push them further in their walk with Jesus.
And we're constantly talking to them about, here's how you share the gospel. Like, win an audience with the people in your shop by the way that you live and the way that you treat people, and then speak the word of God. It's not just them watching you, but it's then you explaining why you're different and what they need to know about Jesus. And then discipleship is definitely what we're about, because spending all this time with people gives you the perfect window for discipleship as you're walking through life with them, helping them see, how does your faith impact an argument with your roommate? How does your faith impact when you're afraid because you're about to go to war? How does it impact you when you're missing another holiday with your family? It's just so practical. You know, we don't want people just coming and giving lip service to the truths of the Bible just to make us happy. We really want it to be making a difference in their life.
You're my God, you saved my soul.
We've had soldiers come from all over the world that have been a part of the Bible study, and we're able to share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ. And some of them, like I said, never opened a Bible in their life, never heard the gospel in their life.
I've been born and raised in Hinduism, and my parents still follow it. When I started to believe, when I became a believer, I was just a believer. I didn't know the Bible. I didn't know like what Jesus wants us to do, what he needs from us. I thought, oh, I just have to believe, right? Which is true, but then you also have to do things his way. So that I learned from Cadence. And I still don't know the Bible that much. Everything I know about the Bible is everything I have learned at Cadence.
There's so many opportunities here for like additional Bible studies that you can do in addition to the Friday night one that RJ always does. And again, like what Katie said, you can get whatever you're looking for, whether it's accountability, encouragement, if you want to know more about Scripture. RJ does a theology class like every Tuesday, and so whatever you want out of Cadence, however you want to grow in your Christian walk, Cadence can facilitate that.
I remember RJ was talking about struggles and how we struggle in our life and how Jesus struggled, and I feel like that whole night, that whole session, RJ was talking to me. That's how I felt. Why didn't I know this before, you know? And since that time, I never stopped coming to every Friday Bible studies. And that's how I grew in my faith. That's how I actually started telling people I'm a Christian. Because before I couldn't, because I didn't know anything about Christianity. Now I can say I'm a Christian because I know a few things, you know? Not completely. I'll get there, though.
Every time I see someone, I have to know I don't have them for long. I don't have time to waste. I don't have time for an elaborate, extravagant discipleship model. I've got a couple months. I've got a year. I've got 2 years. What does this person need? How do I help them take that next step of discipleship? How do I help them walk well with God? What is it that they need to do so that when they leave JBLM, they're leaving loving God more. They're leaving being more faithful to His Word. They're leaving more equipped to study God's Word for themselves. It's just everything's pressing because time is short.
Janessa, RJ, and I get together every week for a staff meeting, and we're praying through each soldier. We're updating each other, what's going on. Like, we all try to be accountable for different soldiers. So just sharing what's going on in lives and being able to pray, and then knowing who's going on what training. We have a whole calendar that's just dedicated to when the soldiers are gone at training, because it's all over the place.
You can't do this ministry half-hearted. You can't. People can tell the difference. It's clear they care about us. That's what makes it a home away from home. Is I can just be like, yeah, I know where I'm going Friday night because I want to. And I know I'm probably going to stay there until midnight because they're all about it.
100% there for you. They open up their home every week, you know, multiple nights a week. And it's, you know, my house is your house, and anything you need, anytime you want, you know, I'll be there.
You don't really reach people without investing in them. If you do, it doesn't last as long. And when people feel that they've been invested in, you feel like you matter. They make you... We call it the Cadence family. And like, it's a pretty cliche term, but it's true. It's a family because they've built it that way.
Well, I hope that's helpful to see a little bit and hear from some of our actual soldiers that attend the ministry what we do. That's a picture of our house up there, right there, where we do the ministry. That's what we do, is we're doing life on life. We're doing a hospitality ministry. We're opening our homes. We are discipling. We are preaching the gospel week in, week out. We do that every Friday night. Sabrina cooks a home-cooked meal for 40 soldiers that come over. I open up the Word. We sing songs. We study the Word. And like I said, I've got a very short time with them. So I'm basically distilling down to three things that are my focus with them. That's, I want them to know the gospel. I'm going to try this one day. I want to sneak into a barracks one night, which isn't as hard as it should be. And I want to wake up one of my soldiers and ask them to tell me what the gospel is in the middle of the night. And I want them to be able to wake up in the middle of the night and recite the gospel. I want them to know it. I want it to be in them. I want them to understand it. I want them to be able to know how to study their Bible, how to feed themselves, how to open up God's Word, to look at it and to read that themselves. And I want them to know how to identify a good church. Those are kind of the three things I'm hoping to get and help each of those soldiers grow with. So if they've never heard the gospel before, I want them to hear it and learn it and understand it. I want them to believe and I want them to repent. If they know it, I want them to understand it more. I want them to know how to use the Word. I want them to be able to find a church because they're going to be leaving me soon. They're coming and they're going all the time. So that's what we do on Friday nights. That's what we do on Tuesday night, but discipleship groups. We got men's discipleship groups, girls' discipleship groups that meet at the house in various places. We're on post at chapel every Sunday morning. We serve at the chapel. We help the chaplains with anything. I have chaplains texting and calling me, asking me to reach out to different soldiers and help them out. So we serve alongside the chaplains. We try to help them as well. We're also members of a local church, and we take our soldiers there. We go on Saturday nights. They have a Saturday night service because we need to be at chapel on Sunday mornings. So we're able to go Saturday night and teach them how to plug into a local church, how to become a member of a local church, how to serve in a local church and be a part of that. So thank you for allowing us to do that. Thank you for being partners with us and being able to reach these soldiers that you're seeing here with the gospel of Jesus Christ. As Perry said, she'd never held a Bible. The first time she came to our Bible study was the first time she held a Bible. It's the first time she opened it. And that shocked us, because when she first came, she told us she was a chaplain's assistant. And we're like, oh, cool, a chaplain's assistant. She'll be helpful. The next week she came back, she's like, that was amazing. I'd never opened a Bible or heard a Bible study before. I was like, what'd you say your job was? You can't take anything for granted in the military, no matter what their job is. And God is continuing to do a wonderful work in Perry's life, and we're grateful for her. Well, as we're saying, my first goal with the soldiers is to make sure they understand the gospel. So I want to share with you what I share with them. I want to start there. If I get one chance to talk with somebody, I always want to go to the gospel, because all believers, we need the gospel. We need to be reminded of the gospel. We need to have the gospel buried deep within our heart. We need to be ready to share the gospel with our friends, our family, our coworkers. So we constantly need to be reminded of the gospel. So I want to walk through the gospel with you. I'm going to jam into just a few minutes what I usually do about 6 weeks with the soldiers, okay? So buckle up. There will be a quiz as well. And I'm looking at you in the balcony. Think you can hide from me up there. We'll get you in here. Open up your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. As Sabrina mentioned in that video, this is our theme verse for Cadence. It's a verse we've come to love very much. As you study 1 Thessalonians, you can't help but notice Paul's love for this church. He is pouring out his heart and his love to this church because they are dear to him. And you can hear this from reading chapter 1. He talks about their time together, how they shared life together. He speaks of the discipleship that took place there. And as I read 1 Thessalonians, I go, man, this sounds a lot like what we do at our house. He speaks of how their relationship grew and how gentle he was. And the picture he uses there, I believe in verse 7, is of a nursing mother with a child. What more gentle and nurturing and caring than a nursing mother with her child? And then we get to verse 8 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And what do we see? We loved you so much that we shared with you not only the gospel of God, but our own lives as well. So primarily, what is Paul's concern to share with the Thessalonians? The gospel. But he didn't stop with the gospel. He didn't just throw a gospel hand grenade over at them. But he poured out his own life. He shared with them his life as well as the gospel. So the gospel was primary. And this is what we do. We are sharing the gospel with these soldiers. But we do that through sharing our lives with the soldiers. We have an open door policy. My phone is constantly going off because we're not there now. We've got a soldier there at the house and a friend watching the house. I've got one of those Ring cameras at my front door. You wouldn't believe how many people I see going in and out of my house right now. Boxes of pizza and sodas, and like, it's just crazy. They actually came out and did a dance party on the front porch for me the other day because they know I watch. I thought that was pretty funny, so I had to acknowledge that to them. I should have put that up for you. That would have embarrassed them. It's a busy house. We have an open door policy, and they are coming over all the time. And I and Sabrina get to assist them with all kinds of different things. They teach us things. In fact, there was a macaroon baking class happening at our house on Thursday, was it? Who here knows how to bake a macaroon? I don't. I don't even know what a macaroon is. It's a coconut thing or the cookie thing? I don't know. Cookie. There we go. So yeah, they're teaching each other how to bake macaroons. And at the house, I've been able to help some of these soldiers purchase their first car because they show up and they're 18 years old. We had one that came, he was 17. And they're going, I need to get a car. I have no idea how to get a car. Can you help me? That's kind of terrifying. Hope it doesn't break down now. So helping with things like that, and other soldiers saying, I need to change the oil in my car. Can you teach me how to do that? Come on over, let's put it up on the jack stands. And we slide underneath that car, and I'm passing them wrenches, and I'm pointing at drain plugs, and I'm able to talk about life and the importance of taking care and stewarding the things that God gives us. And your tires are dry routed, by the way, bud. Don't go on the freeway. You know, like able just to teach them how to look at things and understand things. And it gives us this opportunity as we lay and we work on the car above us, a chance to talk about life. And we see life flourishing. When we get back, we're heading back a week from tomorrow. We'll start driving back to Washington. About 3 weeks after that, I have the honor of performing a marriage of two of the people you saw up there who met at our house at our Bible study, fell in love at Bible study, were discipled by Sabrina and I as we walked them through dating. And now I get to perform their wedding. And they come to me and they ask me to perform their wedding. And they say, can we do it at the Cadence house? Can we pull down the volleyball net and do it out there on the lawn? Because this is where we've met. This is where we've been. This is our family. Can we have the wedding at the house? Yes, yes. The gospel is having impact in these lives, and it's a beautiful thing, and I thank you for that. So we share the gospel with them, and we share our lives as well. All right, so how do I share the gospel with the soldiers? Well, I'm a simple man. I keep things simple. So in your pocket, you all have a training tool we can use real quick. You can just reach in there and pull out one of your hands, your favorite hand. As long as it has five fingers, you know, use the other one then. Five fingers. We're going to run through this, how to share the gospel. And you're always going to have this teaching aid with you. So if you're ever at work or something and you're going, oh, where do I start? How do I do this? You can reach in your pocket and go, oh, yeah, there it is. The first point I always like to start with. And I was excited. We had VBS up here. They were singing, right? What was that first song they sang? Were you paying attention? I had to write notes or I'd forget. God created. Do you not know? Have you not heard? God created. Well, that's where we start. Everybody, let me see your thumb. Let's hold up. It's interactive now. I'm watching you, balcony. There we go. I see some thumbs. It's a little bright up there. Okay. We start with God. And God, I like to put a verse with each of these points. And this first one, I like to put Genesis 1:1. Because it's a good place to start. It's the beginning. And it tells us that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And as your children were up here and singing to us and reminding us of those beautiful truths, we remember that the gospel message starts with God. It begins with God. That God created. And as God is the creator, he is the rightful owner of everything we see, everything we touch, everything we understand. Because he made it, he owns it. He has the rightful claim of it. And God as the creator is eternal. He was there before everything that is. He is outside of that. He is the eternal creator, and he is the holy, righteous judge. We need to understand that as well. So as the creator, he's the owner. He's eternal, and he's the righteous judge. Why is he the righteous judge? Because he made it. When you make something, who here's made something, anything? You know, my wife made a peach cobbler yesterday. I was grateful for that. When you make something, you get to decide what it's for, how it's used, what its purpose is. I was grateful that my wife's peach cobbler was for me. Sometimes she makes it, and she's like, don't touch that. That's for church. I'm like, oh, man. She made it. She gets to decide who gets to eat it. When we make things, we get to decide its purpose. And God is the creator of you and me. And everything decides our purpose and everything's purpose. He decides what is right and what is wrong, what is holy, what is wicked. God is the one that determines all of those things. So our first point here is God is the creator, the holy, righteous judge. All right, number two, let me see two fingers. Next point we have to go to is man. We go to man. I think it was the second song the children were singing. They were working with me this morning. I didn't know they were going to be working with me. I had to pull out a piece of paper and a pen. Kids were singing, our world was filled but not complete until what? God created Adam and Eve. Okay? So we have God, we have man. That's mankind. Adam and Eve, you and me. Okay? God created us. I go to Romans 3:23 is the verse. So we have Genesis 1:1 for God, for man. We have Romans 3:23. I tried to pick familiar verses. I'm trying to make this easy. Romans 3:23, who knows that one? I saw an Awana sign out front that there is somebody here that knows Romans 3:23. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I hear you got, nobody wanted to be too bold. You had it. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. So the first point, remember, in the gospel is that God created. The second point is man. And man is created. Okay, that's kind of a bridge between the first and the second one. Man is created. But in our creation, we are sinful. We have sinned. We have fallen. We have rejected God. We are sinners by nature and by choice. We have chosen to rebel against the holy, just Creator God. But the news is worse than just that we sinned. It's not like we made a mistake. Sinning is not just making a mistake. Sinning is an act of rebellion, an act of war, an act of treason against a holy, righteous God. Romans 3:10 tells us that there is none righteous, not even one. And Paul describes us so often, as he does in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, as dead in our trespasses and our sins. Dead's pretty hopeless. Dead's pretty final. Just driving here, my boys were very excited to see a dead deer on the side of the road. I don't know why they were so excited. We've seen about 10 million of them driving from Washington to here. They were very excited to see one. And we've all seen something that's dead, and it's hopeless. Dead is dead. One of my favorite chaplains used to always say that. Dead is dead. That deer on the side of the road wasn't hoping to not be dead. It was dead. It wasn't asking for someone to call a veterinarian. It's doing nothing but waiting for the vultures or the coyotes. It's not even waiting. The deer is dead. This is the description that's given of us so often throughout the New Testament, is dead in your trespasses and sins. Hopeless. Lost. It's a very sad picture to be dead in your trespasses. We're not looking for hope. We're not asking for hope. We're not hoping for hope, but dead. Let's review really quick. Let's keep moving. This is getting sad, but it has to get sad before it gets good. We got to have the bad news to get to the good news. It's coming right now. First point is, you gotta work with me better than that. First point, balcony, help him out. God, there we go. Second point, man, okay. The third point, you've got it already. Jesus, there we go. Third point is Jesus. I love the simplicity of Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. The Son of Man, Jesus, came to seek and save the lost. Which is good. Because as I was laying dead in my sin, I wasn't seeking to be found. I needed a savior. I didn't need a helper. Because man is sinful and hopelessly lost. We see Jesus coming. And some of the points that I need to for us to understand, this is where I say, usually I spend a week on each of these points for the soldiers. Jesus, we need to know, is fully man and fully God. Fully man and fully God, that he was sinless. He was and is sinless. I should be more clear. And that lastly, Jesus is man's only hope of salvation. There is no hope in salvation anywhere else for any of us. That's not in us. It's not in someone else. It's not in a really good church. It's not in that church membership or that attendance or that service that we've done. None of that will save us. Worthless for our salvation. Jesus is our only hope of salvation. And it's the only hope of salvation for all of our friends and all of our family, our coworkers and everyone that we love and everyone we don't love. Their only hope of salvation is Jesus Christ. None other. And Jesus did, in fact, come. In coming, we're reminded that he came from heaven to earth. Because he was God. He is God. He became man. He put on humanity. He became man, fully God and fully man. And on earth, he lived a sinless, perfect life in perfect submission, in perfect obedience, doing what we could never do. If any of us were to erase our full record of sin and wrongs that we've done in the past, and were to try right now, I'm going to start living holy. I'm going to start living righteous. I'm going to live in perfect submission to God the Father, we're going to last about half a millisecond. At least I will. Some of you older saints might make it a full second. There is no hope of salvation for us outside of Jesus' finished work on the cross. First point. Second point. Third point. Our fourth point is the Holy Spirit. I have to switch fingers there because I can't, I just can't start with God being the pinky finger. It just seems wrong, so I always start on the thumb, and then I get to four, and it gets hard. I'll work something better out, but this is what we've got for now. Fourthly, the Holy Spirit. John 3:3 tells us, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you are born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Because if we're dead, we need to be made alive, right? If we're dead in our trespasses and our sins, something must happen. Because God's not taking dead people to heaven. He's taking living people to heaven. He's taking his new creation to heaven. So fourthly, we look at the Holy Spirit. There's this spiritual birth, this spiritual resurrection, this cleansing and making of a new creation that the Holy Spirit does in this being born again. The Holy Spirit makes us alive again through the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. We're going to move quickly. Those are first four. Now my fear, and I have to share this with you because this is one of my fears. I was in a pastorate for about 15 years working in local churches before I became a missionary. And I've stood in the pulpit, and I've looked out on congregations and preached sermons, led churches, plans and visions. And my fear is that there are going to be so many people in hell who believe all four of those things. They're going to believe that God is eternal, perfect, creator, holy, just. They're going to believe that man is sinful, fallen, and hopelessly lost. They're going to believe that Jesus is God and man, that he is the only hope of salvation for mankind. They're going to believe the Holy Spirit and his work, and they're going to spend eternity in hell. People who have sat in pews and heard these sermons, people who have served in Sunday schools and led others to Christ. James 2:19 tells us, you believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. I read that one day and I came to realize that I believe the demons have better theology than I do. They've seen the things that I've read. They've seen the thing. They've seen Jesus live, die, raise from the dead. Some of them have stood in the heavenly throne room. They've seen God. They've served God. And I go, what is the difference between my faith and the faith of a demon? Fifth point, important point. You, God, man, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, you. What are you going to do with this? You're just going to know it? Demons know it. Mark 1:15 tells us the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. The demons have never repented and never believed. They have never put their hope of salvation in the work of Jesus Christ. They look at those things and they know them to be true. They were there and they saw it. But they have not repented of their sins. God has called us. Acts 17:30 tells us the time of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere. That's us here, Central Chapel and Back Creek, all people everywhere to repent. You can't just know these facts to be true. You must submit to your God, your creator in heaven, and repent of our sins and turn from those and head to God in faith and obedience. This is what we're called to do. Repent and believe. I talk about that as the same coin, two sides. Repenting, believing. Repenting means you're heading towards something else. You're heading towards sin. You're heading towards death. You're heading towards your own heart's desires and whatever you want. And when you repent of that, you turn around and you go the opposite direction. And you head that way towards God in faithfulness and what he calls you. And we do this in belief, believing and trusting in the word of God, in the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Not just knowing these four things to be true, but as that last song the kids sang said, everything I say, everything I do, I live for you. Did you catch the kids singing that? The kids were singing the gospel to us this morning. That's what we're to do. We're to repent, we're to believe, we're to turn. And all that we do, we are to serve and love our God who wants us to love him and enjoy him forever. Who wants us to be with him. God sent his one and only son to earth to die so that we could be saved. He didn't need us. He's perfectly holy and complete, but he loved us so much that he sent his son to die for us. He wants us to be with him. So brothers, sisters, if you've sat in church for a long time and it's never clicked and you go, I have never repented of my sins, do so today. Repent, believe, repent daily. Not that you need to be saved daily. It's once and done forever and all of eternity. Repent, turn of your sins, and head to Christ. Let me pray. Lord God, I thank you so much for your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you, God, for sending him to do for us what we could not do for ourselves, for living the perfect life, for being the perfect sacrifice on that cross. And God, I pray that each and every one of us here would be repenting and turning into faith and running to you, knowing that you have open arms, that you love us, that you want good for us, that you hold blessings and joy for us, God. Not that this life is going to be easy and perfect and how we want it, but God, you have done for us what we can't do through your Son, Jesus Christ, and we thank you for that. God, I pray that we would remember these things and be able, and not only be able, but be bold enough to take them to the friends, our family, our coworkers, and those perishing around us with the only gospel, with the only good news that brings salvation, the good news of your Son. Fill us with your Spirit that we would go out with boldness proclaiming your truth. I ask in Jesus' name, amen.